From the Land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of September, 2016. It's USDA Report Day. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimate reports with Kurt Kimmel, along with the trade impact in Chicago. And then we'll discuss what's been happening in the cash grain segment. We'll do that with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Along the way, we'll check in on all the agricultural news for the day. Things are heating up in Washington, D.C. again as Congress has returned to session. And then as we finish out our time together, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with the guys up at Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois, on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago on this September USDA report day, 3.29 1/4, the finishing price for the lead option down 0.75 cents. December 3.39 1/2, 1.5 cents lower in the corn pit. The March down 1.5 at 3.50 even. September soybeans 9.84 1/2, 12 3/4 lower. November down 16 at 9.64 1/4. January beans $9.68 3/4, down 15 1/2. Bean oil 72 cents lower. Bean meal down $5. Soft red winter wheat for the harvest month up 4 cents at 4.55. The hard red at 4.59 3/4, 4 3/4 higher. Live cattle futures finished the October up 1.37 1/2 at 105.77 1/2. The September feeders up 40 cents at $134.62 1/2, and lean hogs in the October at $59.65, up 42 1/2 cents. This morning, when the USDA released its crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimates, it forecast the corn production at 15.1 billion bushels. That was up 11% from last year, down less than 1 percentage point from last month. Based on conditions as of the first day of September, yields expected to be about 174.4 bushels to the acre. That's 7/10 of a bushel lower than it was in the month of August. Still up 6 bushels from last year. If realized, this would be the highest yield and production on record for the United States. Average area harvested still at 86.6 million acres. Production for the soybeans, 4.2 billion bushels, a big one, up 3% from August and 7% from last year. The condition of the crop is really good. The record yield of 50.6 bushels to the acre, 1.7 bushels larger than last month, up 2.6 bushels from last year. Areas harvested still 83 million bushels, and that's unchanged from August, but up 1 percentage point from 2015. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, is with us to talk about these numbers. Some big surprises there in Chicago, Kurt.
But the big shocker, and it confirms what we're talking about last winter and spring, is the huge old crop demand. If you go back to this time a year ago, even the early winter time window, the 2015 crop was projected to have 450 million bushel carryout. And as you start to close out the books on this old crop, carryout's 195 million bushels. So what the commercial grain trade was telling us, that demand is much better than expected, was actually true. In fact, here nearby, we're seeing some fairly aggressive bean bids here. There's some $10 bids out there through the week here as they try to secure some beans here to meet some near-term demand. But new crop bean inventory, 365. If you go back in history, over the last few years, we've always had the carryout higher. And if you follow through with the trend we've been seeing on percentage, this new crop bean carryout could probably drop back down to the 250 area over time. So that's the debated, but now the question is, do I store or do I sell? The bean, with the enthusiasm we see in the cash market here, if you're able to get some early beans out or move some beans in through here to capture some good bean bids, we would take that, Todd.
And if you have to wait just a bit, those will probably evaporate. Does the market itself tell you to store or sell beans?
Well, we're getting signals to sell. If you in the glut of harvest, 3 weeks from now, it might be a whole different story. But we take advantage of moving these beans. the function of the market now, as you look at Asia and their demand, their buying habits, they want the beans now. They want the beans this fall. They want to get these boats moving back and forth before they have to move them to the southern hemisphere. Not say we're going to see demand drop off the face of the earth as we go into the next calendar year, but their purchasing enthusiasm is going to slow as we go into 2017. So from a producer's point of view, we like trying to capture some of these higher markets here if it gives us the opportunity to get that accomplished here in the next few weeks.
USDA put the midpoint cash price on soybeans down at $9.05, so I suspect they're looking for much lower cash prices somewhere along the lines.
Well, that's the fear there. When you look at that average, to get down to that lower end, we'll see if that materializes. But if this demand remains strong, throughout the end of next year, they'll raise that over time. That's the thing here. Over the last 2 years, everybody's been bearish. If you go back 2 years ago, they projected beans to go down to, $5-6, and it just did not happen. So if they're going to achieve that lower end, we've got some lower prices here sometime down the road.
And just again, to go back through some of the numbers for the soybeans, we're looking at a crop production at 4.201 billion bushels on a 50.6 bushel to the acre crop. That's a big crop. That bushel is up 1.7 from last month. Production is up 141 million bushels. However, the ending stocks, not up nearly that much, mostly because the ending stocks for this year were down 60 million and just up 35 million for the new crop. From the corn side of the ledger, what number did you find most of interest?
Probably the yield estimate. A lot of guys are just not optimistic as the USDA is on their yield. Ideas were that the yield was probably closer to 170, 171 bushels. They only lowered yield by half a bushel to the acre. So guys are much better farmers than what they thought. We'll see how actual harvest yields come in here as we move down the road. Highly variable yields. We're hearing the high end, 260, 280 here through McLean County. They say it's better than last year, but not as good as 2014. But we still have a lot of harvest in front of us, and we'll get some more readings here as we move down the road, Todd.
USDA did really leave the Illinois state average at 200 bushel to the acre, but that's just about the only one it didn't fiddle with. It dropped Indiana state average by 2 bushels to the acre to 185. Iowa was down 2 to 196. Minnesota stayed the same at 184. Nebraska dropped 3 bushels to the acre. And South Dakota was down 5 bushels to the acre. However, and the folks out in Kansas picked up 6 bushels. So there were some changes there, mostly to the downside. Still, it's a big number for the corn, and I take it from what I hear from you, you believe it's going to get smaller once we get to the month of October.
I think we could back and fill a little bit. I don't believe we're below the 170 bushel area. I believe we're probably in this 171, 172 area, per se. But we'll see. Like I say, we still got a lot of harvest in front of us. And for the most part, though, unless you got hit by, some extreme weather conditions or some type of other production problem, yields are going to be strong again this year.
Anything else that we ought to talk about before I let you go for the afternoon?
That should take care of it.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, farmers and ranchers trying to withstand falling income as a result of low commodity prices increasingly need access to loans to help finance their operations through the lean times, something both Senators Pat Roberts and Representative Mike Conaway are concerned about. During an hour-long agriculture forum at the Kansas State Fair on Saturday, led by fellow farm broadcaster and National Association of Farm Broadcasting member Greg Akagi, the chairman of the Senate and House Agriculture agriculture committees expressed frustration over the declining number of community banks across the U.S., which tend to make lending decisions based on bankers' relationships with local businesses and families. Side note slash commentary here. After my father returned from World War II, he walked into the Williamsville State Bank and on only his name, no collateral, no co-signature from his father, bought 40 acres. End of commentary. The consolidation in the banking industry has been going on forever, but the concern now is that given the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumers Protection Act and its rules, small banks just can't start, Conaway said, explaining that the regulatory burden is often too large for de novo banks to enter the market. He added that the Agriculture Department's direct and guaranteed loan programs will continue to play an important role during the downturn, ensuring farmers have access to credit. For his part, Senator Roberts said he'd like to see Dodd-Frank's repealed and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau it created abolished. If we have the votes regarding the CFPB, Roberts said that because it is funded through the Federal Reserve, Congress doesn't have many options to rein in the agency. Well, despite calls for ad hoc disaster payments and tweaks to the Farm Bill to soften the blow of falling farm incomes, lawmakers are going to resist calls to amend the legislation. While he and Roberts understand many producers are going through a difficult time, there is a safety net in place, and the beauty of doing it every 5 years is you get to fix things that don't work. We have to be careful, he says, that we don't do something in the near term to fix today's hurt that really screws up the future. He noted that there are many lawmakers in and outside both parties critical of farm programs that will be ready to pounce should the law be reopened. Let's move east from Kansas City, but stay with federal legislation. Senate lawmakers may notch up another major win for the nation's infrastructure this week as they aim to complete work on the Water Resources Development Act, or WRDA. The $10.6 billion package, currently primed for a cloture vote today at 5:30 this evening Eastern Time, includes everything from federal funding to address the Flint, Michigan drinking water crisis, renewals of Great Lakes and Lake Tahoe restoration programs, and the approvals of more than two dozen new navigation, flood protection, and ecosystem projects. Aides in D.C. are still trying to figure out which of the 30 or so amendments submitted to the legislation so far will get votes. Assuming the cloture vote is invoked, as expected, senators will proceed to debate on the infrastructure package. And finally today, the big four from Congress are headed to the White House this afternoon. The top Republicans and Democrats from each chamber of Congress are bound for 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue to meet with President Barack Obama. On the agenda will be priorities for the remainder of the legislative session, according to the White House. While securing a short-term funding bill to avert a government shutdown at the end of the month will be a key focus, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is also expected to come up during the meeting between Obama, House Speaker Paul Ryan, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid. The politics at play during the meeting will be tricky, of course, for Obama to navigate, with his two natural allies, fellow Democrats Pelosi and Reid, having openly declared their opposition to the deal. On the Republican side, McConnell said during the summer recess that TPP would not come up for a vote this year, while Ryan last week told reporters the votes are not there to pass the agreement, and if it came to the floor now, it would go down. Ryan further dimmed TPP's chances on Friday when he told a closed-door meeting of Republican lawmakers that it's too late for the administration to use trade promotion authority to force a TPP vote. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. On this Monday afternoon, we're joined by Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County to talk about the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's a beautiful day, and we have a wall of beans, apparently, out there. Usually we talk about a wall of corn, but this is just a big crop.
It certainly appears that way. The pod counts would indicate that the crop is out there. There's been some reports that maybe there's only two beans in those pods instead of three in places, but around here, I think the beans are very good around here. I can't speak for everywhere else, but I think we're looking at a very good bean crop here.
The USDA apparently agrees with you. Last month, it was the objective yield and the ear weight that really everybody focused in on for the corn. But in the executive summary from the USDA's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, the crop production report this morning, that number, the objective pod ear weight, was the big number, and it was a big one. And I saw what Scott Irwin posted about it today. If that yield actually comes to fruition, it will be on not only the top end, but it'll blow the top end off the bean side of yield. So it's just a big crop out there, and we've got to watch for it. However, the cash grain market says it needs beans, apparently.
Yes, the demand is still good, and while that big bean crop may be coming, it's still probably 2 weeks away, 2 to 3 weeks away. And so for the next week to 10 days, there's still going to be some premiums out there. The processors are going to want beans, and they're going to want them as quickly as they can. And so there still are premiums out there for beans. I know some of the processors are still paying, you know, like 40 over for beans, and that gets you over $10 cash. But then other processors have dropped from 40 over, and I know one went to 10 over today. So as soon as they start getting enough, then that premium goes away. But there still is some premiums out there for at least this week's deliveries.
Yeah, so they're really, you know, there's what, 20 cents premium in the September to the November, and even at processes are on the November, so they're at 10.04 or thereabouts at 40 over. But this soybean market doesn't fade really at all. And USDA nonetheless is saying cash prices are going to have to be much lower if their marketing year average at 9.05 is going to be in play at all.
Yes, I think it's kind of an order flow right now. You've got China buying and the farmers aren't selling. And I think they want to make sure, you know, what they've got before they sell it. And beans, it's always hard to tell. You know, the potential certainly seems to be there, but I think farmers are going to be a little cautious and make sure, you know, see what the yield is first, and then maybe they'll start selling some more beans. But there's no doubt we have a record crop, but we also have record demand. And so right now the record demand seems to be winning out, but, you know, keep in mind that sooner or later those beans will come to market, and that might pressure the market at that time.
A little smaller corn crop in the United States than we thought about last month, though still it would be a record setter by both yield and production standards. This is a big crop, and we can put it away, I suspect, at this time.
And that's certainly what the farmers are intending to do. Everyone's asking about DP and storage rates and basis levels and whatever they can do to keep this grain off the market. It's certainly paid the last 2 years to not sell in the fall and to wait for the $4 corn price the following spring. But the following spring is 6 months away, and this year's crop, as you just said, is a record crop on top of a pretty big carryover from last year. So that $4 corn is going to be a tough nut to get to unless we really do have weather problems either in South America or up here next spring.
And it may be a long 6 months given the tight situation for cash on the farm as well. What are your bids for the moment?
Cash corn is $3.19 right out of the field. Next January is $3.30. The beans are $9.44. Same price for January.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, Greg Johnson of the Andersons. He's from right here in Champaign County. Back in 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Risk Pulse. On this gorgeous Midwestern afternoon, I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, coming to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. We're joined now by Risk Pulse's Mark Russo to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. He's in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark. What a gorgeous day it is.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Yeah, certainly it is here, and that followed great conditions here over the weekend, especially yesterday. And by and large, that's the same pattern here will continue for another few days, although there is some rain on the way, and that continues to be part of this generally active pattern that's in place here across the middle of the country. In particular, it's influencing the plains, hard red winter wheat belt, which as we start planting across that region, this continues to improve the soil moisture base. But for early harvest progress of summer crops here in the Midwest, especially the western and central Midwest, this active pattern will cause at least, you know, some delays here. Again, not exceptionally wet, and we're not seeing very, very high totals, but overall with frequent rain activity, certainly as we go through the remainder of the month, any early harvest progress will be a bit delayed.
So you're talking about 2 or 3 weeks worth of on-off rain?
That's the way it's shaping up to be here, Todd. And we certainly have seen that here in recent weeks. And we've had this feed of moisture coming into the central U.S. as we've had this kind of weakness in the jet stream across this region in recent weeks. At times, that flow or feed of moisture has been right from the tropical Pacific. Other times, it's coming right from the Gulf of Mexico. And depending on where this feed has been aligned, that has become more of the concentrated area of more widespread shower and thunderstorm activity. At least right now, and what's at least a little bit different from the pattern of recent weeks, we've seen, you know, remnants of hurricanes or remnants of tropical activity, one of which was the system here in the Pacific, but then also with, you know, Hermine here, which is more of an influence on the south eastern U.S., but it's when you get these blobs of tropical moisture, that's when you have the higher precip totals or the more widespread heavy rainfall, and at least that'll be a little bit of a break here coming up, at least for those, you know, excessively high amounts.
What do you see for the beginning of the growing season in South America?
Right now, Todd, we do not see any red flags with the onset of planting across South America. The one item to watch right now is in Argentina, and that's dryness. In fact, August and the start of September, one of the driest, you know, 4 to 5 weeks that they've seen for this time of year going back over the past 20 or 30 years. However, that is in the process of changing. The pattern here is turning more active, and it looks like a normal rainfall pattern, which will help improve soil moisture here as we go through the remainder of September.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse. He is out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do find us online at WILLAG.org. There you'll find our calendar of events, including tomorrow night's Will Ag panel out at the Champaign County Farm Bureau building, and of course, the USDA Reports page.